Very good evening. It's good to be with you. We are not in the book of Daniel. It's done. It's really done. So I do expect to do Revelation, but it so happens that I will be traveling quite a bit in January, February, that I am kind of thinking about starting Revelation in March. Now, between now and then, we will have some devotionals or Bible studies. I am intending to cover Psalm 19, not 119, 19. Okay? It's about the Word of God. And I will be absent on the 12th, and Brother Clay, Dr. Clay, is going to teach for us at that evening. So he is going to correct all all the mistakes that I've made. He laughs at me. So, of course, I'm joking. Well, that doesn't sound good either. I should not have gotten on that trail. But anyhow, it does give good teaching. We are in Ephesians chapter 6, and we're going to study verse 18 this evening. You do recognize that part of Scripture. It is, and I'll read verses 17 to 20, even though I'll be speaking on verse 18. That passage jumped at me recently, not too long ago, as I was having my personal devotion in the book of Ephesians. And so let me read that passage and we'll get to it and to share with you what jumped at me. And it says, and take, verse 17, the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints, and also for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel. Oh, that would be what I would really love for you guys to pray for me all the time. And verse 20, for which I am an ambassador in chains, pray that I will not be in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. So as I was having my devotion on that passage, what jumped at me was the importance and significance that Paul gave to prayer. And it everywhere. Not only does he say he prays himself very, very fervently, but he asks other people to pray. And at first, when I look at this, I myself, as many people do, I said, oh, yeah, certainly, I'm a minister of the gospel, and definitely it's my duty, my responsibility to pray the way he did. And then it was done on me that to ask, whom was he speaking to? He was, when he said, pray for me, he was not even speaking to ministers. According to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 1, he was writing to the saints in the church at Rome. He was writing to people in the pews. And then it is these people that the Bible expects, I mean, these, including the ministers, but not the ministers alone, but these people, the Bible expects to pray the way that verse 18 is talking about. You know the context of that verse. You know that the context shows a combative nature for prayer. In Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 to 17, Paul likens the various components of consecration of the believer. He likens that to the armor or panoply of a soldier involved in combat. And though each component fulfills a different function, there is not one of them that is unimportant. Every single one is significant. And each one of the six pieces of armor relies on the other to ensure that the soldier is fully protected and also that the soldier is efficient in attacking, both for defense and for offense. Now, you probably have heard studies that mention seven pieces, just they might have seven pieces of the armor, and the seventh will be prayer. But prayer is not one of the pieces of the armor. It's after he has mentioned all the pieces of the armor, you can see that when he comes to prayer, he didn't say, take also the such and such thing of prayer. Like he said, the sword of, you know, the helmet of, and all. He didn't say that. When he comes here to verse 18, Paul gives something additional and actually something that encompasses all the six pieces of the armor, the six elements. In order for those six elements to operate efficiently and successfully, the thing, the energy, the power, the electronics, all that is supposed to make them move and function is prayer. You can have the sword, you can have the helmet, you can have all those other things. And Paul is telling us, they will lack power, they will lack energy, they will lack direction, they will have focus, they will lack all of this unless they all be bathed with prayer. So prayer is one of the most crucial elements, not as one of the pieces of armor in the panoply, but as the one that make them all function and should not be neglected. And in this, as we see here, the prayer duty, as I put it, the prayer duty to which Paul summoned the believers in Rome in verse 18, in that prayer duty, Paul points to two inseparable qualities of ministerial prayer. Two of them in that verse 18. The frequency of prayer and the fervency of prayer. Look at that verse 18, and you'll see there are two participles in it. Praying and being watchful, being alert. So the first one is about the frequency of prayer. Praying always, with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. And the second half of the verse is about the fervency of prayer, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Fervency and frequency of prayer, they are intertwined. They are two inseparable qualities of prayer. No prayer will be fervent unless there be frequency, and there should not be frequency without the quality of fervency. And I would like to address these two in our study this evening, beginning with the first one, the frequency of prayer, where Paul says, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. As you look at the frequency of prayer, there are two things that Paul puts before us. The frequency in time and the frequency in type. Let's look at that time factor. He says this right there, praying always. Always mean how much time? No need. This is one of the parts for me as a theologian. When I ask myself, how can someone, humanly speaking, pray always? What about when I'm sleeping? And I got to ask myself whether it is my misunderstanding of really what prayer is, because as you see, Paul is going to mention many types or ways by which you can pray. We always think that prayer is bow the head, close the eyes, and speaking words. That's the most common element of prayer. But when you look at it in the New Testament, also in the Old Testament, there are so many words that are used for prayer to say that at every given time, we have to be in one of them at least. If not in the speaking, when he says, I put in my spirit, okay? You find that in Scripture. You have the disposition of prayer, a prayerful disposition. We should always be in that. Though the disposition itself is not pray all that prayer is. So what Paul is telling us, we should be people who are constantly with an eye on God and in a disposition to be in communication with God. There are times as members of a family where a husband and a spouse can be sitting in the car or sitting in a room. They are not talking to each other. But at any moment, one of them can just say something without calling the other person's name. The other person said, I was thinking. One would say, I was thinking. And the other person doesn't say, are you talking to me? No. They are the only two. Even the silence is a disposition for them to communicate with each other. So for us, we should never be outside of the sphere where we cannot talk to God. Even when we are sleeping, that we can, Lord sometimes can bring in our consciousness, as Solomon says in Ecclesiastes, that our dreams, they rise from the multitude of our occupations and activities. We dream about the things that preoccupy us. God has made our subconscious to be that way. So God uses, just as he uses when we are looking at things, events, activities in front of him, he can also use things when we are not looking at things, like in our dreams. They are not revelation, nor would we say that the Lord gives us a lesson by looking at an accident that we'll call it a revelation. The Lord pointed something out to me. Well, the Lord can point something out to you in your dream, not all your dreams, you know. If you are dreaming about becoming president of the United States, you don't call and say, God pointed out to me, you know. It's like my wife used to say that. That was before me, you know, with that young man who said that he had a dream that the Lord wanted him to marry her. And she said, well, let me sleep and see whether the Lord gives me the same dream. And interestingly, I met her in my dream, you know. My dream was the right one. So in the frequency of prayer is at any point in time, believers who are connected with Christ should never be in a position of disconnection. Sin causes that. Our covetousness causes that. We should always be in that disposition of communication with God. Whether we do it verbally, whether we do it in our spirit, whether we do it with our bodily positions or whatever, in singing, all those things. There are types, ways that there are innumerable ways by which you communicate with the Lord. Even this type of coming and speechless. Always. And the second thing it says, and you can see that the people who are in constant disposition to communicate with God, they will also be eager to join with other people to pray together. And it's frequency in time, but also in type. This passage gives us three elements of what it means when Paul is talking about the frequency in type. Look at this, the first one. He says that it's prayer itself, the general aspect of it. He said, praying always with all prayer. all kind of type of prayer. That reinforces what I was talking about, always, always with. So whatever type of prayer that the moment is bringing to you, be in that disposition that always you will be praying. All appeals to God, whether in worship, in requests, in singing, you are always directing yourself toward that. And is the second element. So he's going from encompassing of them, all of them, general, but he also goes particular. Look at that. He says that with all prayer and supplication, specific petition that you bring to God. So all general things, all the normal things, all, you know, the prayer meetings, being there for the prayer meetings, being there for the family devotion for prayer, those are the general, regular, common things. But you who participate in that prayer meeting, even when you might be only two in the house, you prayed with your husband, and then you go to the restroom and you bow your head and you pray for something specific that is between you and the Lord. That's the part he's talking about, the specific petitions. Pay attention to all of them, the types. And then he gives a third element for us to consider. He says that whenever you do that prayer, general, the whole full range, specific to general, everything has to be in this one sphere, in the spirit. In the spirit, that element in, we have seen it in Christ. And when we're talking, when we preach on the Philemon, we express, when we spoke also in Colossians chapter 1 about the preeminence of Christ, we explain that element of in. It's a sphere that can have all kinds of elements attached to it. But when the Bible says we pray in the Spirit, this is not a charismatic thing. We find in charismatism that people take this thing because it may be ambiguous. They fill it in with all kinds of meanings that they want to give to it. So in the spirit, it's one guy who came and beam and hit you on the forehead and you fall back on the ground. Now, be honest with yourself. Do you think that's what Paul was saying, talking about? Do you think that Paul was saying, yeah, go to some meeting and have someone hit you on the forehead and fall and have three or four people catch you? I mean, be honest with yourself. I mean, we don't even need to go to the theology. Be honest with yourself. Is that the tenure of Scripture? No. But what he does say, from general to specific, wherever, whether you are praying in that bathroom, whether you are praying together with your husband, whether you are praying with your children, whether you are right there in front of a car accident, whatever it may be, it should be in accordance to what the Holy Spirit would expect a prayer to be. The Holy Spirit, Paul will tell you, the Holy Spirit is there to manage and check the quality of your prayer. And in fact, when the prayer comes, and if it's missing something, but it is in good faith and spirit, guess what? The Holy Spirit interprets those prayers to God. Say, well, this is what he means. He doesn't speak our language. Okay, let me put it in language that God to God can speak about. But I have this. And for us, looking at it from there, even if you are Paul, it sounds almost like groanings. So it may be illegible to you, not being understood by words as you understand, but the Spirit interprets. God to God speaks. So when you are praying, pray in such a way that the Holy Spirit will say, no, I'm not going to bring this before the throne now. Pray in a way that the Spirit will approve, will say, hey, if you have turned off the Holy Spirit and you come with the prayer, say, you know, that's not what you need to talk to me about. No. You need confession of sin right now. That's what needs to be done. That's not according to what I'm expecting. No. So The scripture does tell us what the Spirit takes as important and significant. And in fact, the Bible does tell us, don't touch Christ. Don't be like those people who think because of all the spectacles they make, they think that will make God listen to their prayers. God is not going to say, okay, you made all that noise. You make all that stupidity. Therefore, oh God, okay, I'm going to listen to you. No, it's not going to work this way. The Holy Spirit filters all those things. That's frequency in time and in type. And then the second part of that prayer, he says, of what our prayer duty should be, it's fervency. He said, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. There are four elements of that fervency. When we talk about fervency in prayer, there are those four elements that Paul has mentioned. The first one is vigilance. So, when you are having prayer, why do you have to be fervent? Why couldn't you just do it and it's done? It's because of all the things that go against prayer. That in order to fulfill prayer, for it to be complete, you have to have those qualities of fervency so that you don't give up. So vigilance presumes that there will be sneaky opposition. Being alert, being watchful. Being alert as when God is expecting the usual and the unusual. You may know all the tactics of the enemy that they have used before, but you are also expecting the unexpected when you are God. Don't take anything for granted to say, oh, you know, generally that's not the light that I see. I'm not going to pay attention to that light. No! Expect the unexpected when you are guarding. Not to be slothful or negligent. Paying attention, planning, devoting it at all times while you are on duty. Prayer is not something that you just do nonchalantly. It's not something that you do, oh, okay, I'm going to do, let's do a little prayer here. We repeat our cliche. Vigilant about it. Just as someone who's guarding the lives of other people so that nothing wrong would happen. Pay vigilance. So the first element of fervency is vigilance. The second one, the passage is, in fact, it has the word, is perseverance. So for you expect opposition, you are vigilant. Sneaky opposition, you are vigilant. But also, prayer, there is something that works against prayer. Discouragement, fatigue, discomfort. Therefore, you need perseverance in order to be fervent. Prayer is hard work. And there are many elements that would make people neglect prayer. One is our very essence. What did Christ tell Peter and the other ones? The flesh is weak. Flesh does not want to pray. Tell me one of you who can rely on your flesh in order to be fervent in prayer. Tell me one of you. It was against you. And that flesh is going to bring all kinds of things like sleepiness? What about, for example, you start praying and then at one point you wake up and say, what was I talking about? Your mind wanders away. That's what the flesh does, and Satan is going to use it. Fatigue. I don't feel like getting up. I don't feel like doing this. What about when you have a wonderful Bible study? You have a great devotion of studying scripture. And then, hey, I'm good. You got up and go. And you didn't bathe it with prayer. And there are times for me, I said, you know, I'm going to do this devotion and reading scripture. I said, let me pray first, because I know if I do that devotion, I'll probably skip the prayer part. Because it's... For us, if we skip the prayer and we read scripture, we can always persuade us that we have devotion. That if we do the prayer and we didn't read scriptures, hey, nah, I didn't have devotion, you know. So whatever tactic works for you, he's saying persevere. Okay. There are sometimes we no longer give the cause of our prayer importance. Somehow it doesn't have importance to us anymore. At first, this was so important, we're praying about it. And after that, you wake up and say, man, I've not prayed for this for a long time. I wonder why. The problem was not solved. Therefore, it's that disposition to persevere. Vigilance, because there is sneaky opposition coming to trick you. Perseverance, because there is discomfort, fatigue, discouragement. And the third one is persistence. And look at what he says. He says that in that verse, he said, being watchful to this and with all perseverance and supplication. So it presumes that there will be doubt on our part. That's why we need persistence. And it also presumes while there is doubt on our part, there is also going to be wait and silence on the part of God. They come, you pray today, God doesn't say anything. He has his own timing. He doesn't owe you any information. You do it for 1 week, God still doesn't say anything. God has in mind, just like the prophet who came to the king and said, you know, hit the ground and just dumb. And the prophet said, you should have persisted because then you would have victory and decimate your enemy. Now you will just win 2 battles. Persistence. Perseverance implies continuity despite the difficulties. Persistence implies repetitiveness until the goal is achieved. You know God is going to answer. God is going to do something until the Lord says no, yes, wait, or whatever. Until he says something clearly, you keep praying. You keep praying. Fervency, vigilance, perseverance, persistence, and then focus. Look at this, he says at the end, oh, you pray for all the saints. Now let me tell you, if you start praying even for our small church, for each person in the church, you think you will ever get done? At least for me, when I try to take the list, you know, I said, Lord, I mean, the week is over. I'm not done. I wish I could pray for every single person every day. But if you look at it, you think I'll ever get done? I mean, if I were to take even one person in the church, and I were to try to lay before the Lord all the things pertaining to that one person, the fights, the struggles, the things that I know, the things that I don't know, the general things that I know that Christian people go through, even for that one person. I mean, I pray for my wife and my children, and I always come inadequate. I said, man, I mean, I need to pray more for my kids. I have to pray for other people. And in fact, prayer, I mean, it's one, if I were to say, if there is one area in my life which I have already committed to the Lord to improve on in 2022, it's prayer. I put it before the Lord. If Paul is looking at it to be that important and significant, man, what am I missing? Praying for each other is essential for the triumph of the body, which is the church. Pray for each other. First of all, those who are closest to you in your family. Pray for the leaders. Pray for those. Pray for your neighbors.
Okay? Those who walk are at the forefront. And right after that, Paul says in verse 19, and for me, among all the saints you are praying, pray for me. And I beg you to pray for me. You know what I want you to pray for me? Number one, purity. That I would be a holy man. Pray for effectiveness. Pray that I will not be discouraged. Pray that I don't set my eyes upon me, what God is going to give me, but that I will set my eyes upon my calling. Pray that I will divide the word of truth in a way that fits God's intention. Not the seminaries, but God's intention, what God intended to say when he used those words. Pray for faithfulness and fortitude. So now we know how much, you know, do you know when we know how much we've missed when we did not pray? Do you know when we know that? It's only when we have prayed and we see the results. And we tell yourself, man, if I had been doing this all the time, rather than for that one specific thing, what kind of Christian life would I have had? It's only when we do pray and we see how good it is that we can realize how much we have missed when we had not prayed. There is no doubt that Paul has always seen prayer as essential. And in fact, many times I'm reading the scripture, I keep asking the Lord, man, what does he see that I do not see? You go, you don't feel that you had prayed adequately. You go preach, and despite that, the Lord gives blessing to your sermon, and you think, well, I can still do it with that little prayer. You just don't know how much you've missed. How do you know that if you had given adequate prayer, that the Lord would not have used one sermon for 3,000 conversions, just as he did for Peter? And you just want that pom pom. Oh man, I got 2 conversions. Great! It was adequate. And the Lord said, I could have used you for 3,000. And you have no idea. As I enter 2022, one of the things that the Lord impresses on my heart is not only for me to have a more victorious life of prayer, frequency and fervency, but also that our church would be a prayer church, that this house would be a house of prayer. That we men would be like James to develop calluses to our knees, a force of frequent and fervent prayer. Paul knows something, that he understands something, because he could not have given such importance to prayer to be telling us, be watchful on this. Don't neglect it at all. It's very important. It's life and death. There is something in us that we in our Christian life, we have not caught yet. And may the Lord lead us that in our individual lives, we will give devote ourselves to prayer in such a way that we'll catch that. That's my desire and prayer. That the Lord would lead me as a minister to catch what Paul had when he was giving and emphasizing prayer to that extent. That's my desire for myself, and I hope the same to you. Let's pray. Father, I feel so inadequate to speak about prayer, and I would not have spoken had it not been a passage of Scripture. And Lord, I'm probably in this room the least of all the saints who are here in regard to prayer. I feel mine to be so inadequate. I feel so incompetent. I feel so weak. And all those things. I feel the burden and the indictment upon myself. And when Paul asked those people to pray, we know he also mentioned about the prayer. At the end of each letter, he keeps telling in every one of those churches, telling those people, I prayed for you, I prayed for so-and-so, how is so-and-so, I prayed for him. When he said all the saints, he prayed for all the saints. Teach me, Lord, that I may indeed do the same. And that our church will be a church devoted to prayer. That our Wednesday evening will be the highlight of the week. Not be neglected. And those of us who are here, may we not be judgmental, but may we pray that others will catch the vision and value of prayer. And that not out of guilt, but voluntarily. Push, nudge by the Holy Spirit. They will do exactly what Paul had said. Be watchful. Be alert. Not to neglect. Vigilance. Perseverance. Persistence and focus. Our prayers be indeed in fervency and in frequency. In Jesus Christ's name we do pray.